You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. It is 6 minutes after six right now. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. Happy Friday, and thank you so much for deciding to join us bright and early. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're here. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842 is how you get a hold of us. So, Sunday's Mother's Day. How are you celebrating your mom this weekend? That's our question for you this morning. Good morning, everybody. Frank is here.
Morning.
You feeling better?
I feel like $1,000 compared to
$1,000.
That Monday, is, Tuesday.
I love it.
As I was on air talking like this. So, I think everybody's happier that I'm feeling better and I'm less cranky. So.
Is Mrs. Well. Frank happy that you're feeling better and less cranky?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I think she's totally most happy.
That's the only thing that's important. Who cares about your health?
Right.
As long
who cares,
as she's happy.
Who cares how I feel?
Happy wife, happy life. You right, know how that goes, Frank.
Glad she's not annoyed or bothered by my sick presence.
That's right.
And then there's Parker looking like he's going to a Pearl Jam concert later.
Yeah, I suppose that's probably fair. Yeah.
Brian, how is that any different than any day Parker's here?
I don't know. Today just hit me because you were commenting on his t-shirt under his flannel with his neck beard.
Inappropriate t-shirt.
Slightly inappropriate t-shirt.
Were you able to get up on time today and not be rushed?
I was up on time.
All right.
20 minutes earlier than yesterday, which isn't as on time as I want to be, but it was on time enough.
Welcome to the world of trying to go to work.
That's right.
It's not class where you could just wake up and go, I guess I'll go today. Or, I'm not going today.
Or decide I'll just to go do it online later.
Aha.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Wow.
Too soon? We're going to talk about that later on in the program. Big hack into the university systems across the country. So we'll get into that. But yes, it is. It's Mother's Day. Jamie, you are the only mother, technical mother on the show, or literal mother on the show. The rest of us have been called, I'm sure, some form of mother at some point in our lives. But
usually once a week.
Yeah. Will you be? Are you going to be? You're going to be traveling, so
we are. We
going
are
going to miss out on a celebration.
We planned things accordingly so that we can actually do one day before work stuff on the East Coast. So we'll be in Boston on Sunday. So I'm excited about that. It's funny though because the oldest kid called yesterday and he goes, are we doing anything for Mother's Day? I was like, oh, I apparently haven't talked to you in a long time. You have no idea that we're not even going to be around.
And I like that he's asking you if you're going to do something on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
I did the same thing.
That usually falls on the children.
Or
the husband.
Not in our house. No. And here's the thing. We don't put a lot of stock in our house into these holidays. Mother's Day, Father's Day. Valentine's Day, those don't just have, they just don't have
those
a lot of stock.
Those are very different tiers.
I know, but they don't
holidays.
Have a lot of stock in our house. And here's the thing. I mean, we've talked about this. There's a reason I celebrate birth month in October, because for one day out of the month, I hope that somebody in our house will take care of themselves for 5 seconds so that I don't have to. Whether that's emptying the dishwasher, loading the dishwasher, putting the dog out without being asked, I don't care. Pick up a vacuum for one day. So as you can see, Mother's Day usually falls to, ooh, it's Mother's Day. Do you want to go out or what would you like to make for yourselves? At this point, I'm just like, whatever. It's
but
fine.
But Jamie, hear me out. You could have 2 days if you wanted in different months.
I could.
Is what we're telling you.
I know. I could. I could. It just, it never works in my favor. So it's just
Mother's
easier.
Day's complicated.
It is. You know?
It is.
Because there's people who don't have their moms anymore.
Right.
Then there's people who choose not to have their moms.
Right.
And there's a lot. It's like Father's Day too.
Right.
It's like, come on, and we'll talk about this in June. All I want is, I ask
be
her
left alone.
A piece of quiet. Yep. And I call it a piece of quiet because when my daughter was young, she thought peace and quiet was a piece of quiet. So even now, she'll go, I know what you want. You want a piece of quiet. Yes.
That's awesome.
But for Mother's Day, it's like, and my aunt, who was a waitress for years and years, said it was the worst day to be a waitress because everybody was trying to take their mothers out, even if they hated them, so that they could say, oh, look, I took my mom out for brunch.
Right.
So Debbie's, I said, would you like me to take you to brunch? Absolutely not. I'm like, you can make me brunch. I said, all right, that's cool.
So is that how you spend Mother's Day, making her food, making her brunch?
I'll make her brunch. Then I'll probably make her dinner. She gets to pick dinner.
Sure.
And she'll have some mimosas, and I'll leave her alone because as she always loves, mothers always love when their husbands go, well, you're not my mother.
Right, right.
But it's true. I'll hook her up.
This is also spoken stuff. Like somebody who's been married for a long time. Really, I just want to be left alone, and I know she wants to be left alone too, so that's how we're going to spend our day.
I said, why don't you just sleep? You know, you can sleep late, and I'll take care of the dogs, and you could just...
Right.
That's a good gift.
Yeah. That's a great gift. Frank, how do you celebrate your mother?
Here's my dilemma and another question. At what point, at what age are you not, I don't want to say obligated, but like, do I have to drive out to the suburbs this weekend because it's Mother's Day?
Probably.
Are you an only child?
No.
Is your mom doing something with one of your other siblings?
I don't know. And that's like Jamie's son. I have to call and ask. And I did the other day. I said, so what's going on Sunday? My mom goes, I don't know.
Oh, she's better.
I said, cool.
That feels a little passive aggressive mom-ness.
No, she really means it. If there's going to be anything, she coordinates it with all
this. What day, could you go on Saturday? See, I'm going to see my mom Saturday because I think one of my other brothers wants to do something with her on Sunday. And since we don't really care. We don't do a lot of joint family ventures.
For sure.
So I'm going up Saturday. And I see the other thing is, I saw my mom yesterday. I talk to my mom every day. I see her all the time. So it's like, I don't, you know, I'll wish her a happy Mother's Day. I got her a little something to make her life easier. And that's the thing. I don't feel the need to be there on Sunday.
Right.
You know, who cares?
Right.
And that's my thing. Do I need to drive out there on Sunday? What are we going to do? Are we going to wait an hour or two to try to get breakfast or brunch or something?
God,
know she doesn't want to do that.
Right.
What am I going to, do you want a material thing? I don't know what the hell to get you. If I asked you what you wanted, you wouldn't have an answer.
DoorDash or something, some treats.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll bring treats from the city, which always hit. But
yeah.
Otherwise, it becomes this weird, awkward moment where nobody has anything planned and you're just kind of sitting around staring at each other, doing all the things you would normally do other time you went to visit them.
Well, and reiterating to your mom that you put zero thought into her day.
And it's not that. I just don't know. I talked to my oldest sister yesterday. I said, did you hear anything about Sunday for mom? She goes, no.
Again, everybody's counting on mom to put together their Mother's Day.
Because she's the coordinator.
Yes.
If we meet, we all meet at her house.
You ask about the age limit for obligation. I think the age limit for having your mom coordinate everything is well past.
No.
Yes.
That's what she does.
No, that's a cop-out.
That's lazy
talk.
I am not a homeowner.
You don't have to be a homeowner. You could say Saturday night, everybody's going out for pizza, and that's Mother's Day. And then you could do something where you and your siblings actually show that your mother raised you to be independent.
That's
thinkers.
The other thing. I'm the baby. I don't have that pull.
Here's the other thing. God. As a mother, just having somebody else take the initiative to do something, we don't care what it is. Take us for an ice cream cone at McDonald's. We don't actually care as long as somebody else initiates it. We don't actually have to come up with the idea.
Yeah, Frank, does your mom like ice cream cones from McDonald's?
Yes.
There you go.
There you go.
Take her
a McFlurry.
There you go.
You know what?
I'm telling you, we're moms. Our bars are not very high.
I asked Brian from work, and he said, get you a 50-cent cone.
You know what?
Well, it's not they, the price they used tag. To be.
Here's what my first comment would be. Did I have to plan it? No. Did somebody ask me if we should do this? No. Did somebody take initiative to do it? Yes. I'd be like, oh my gosh, you guys are amazing. I would actually be very excited if somebody took the initiative to do
that. Sounds like the bar in your house is very low.
It is very low because I've always just handled everything. I've always just handled everything for my husband and my two boys. And I was a stay-at-home mom for a long time. So I was the coordinator of everything. So I totally understand what you're saying, Frank.
And you will be.
I will be. But
for many years.
That's why I said my bar is low, but anytime they actually do something that is outside of the norm that doesn't expect me to handle it, that is a gift to me. And I'm not even joking. My bar is low, but it's because I was always in that role. So
Alicia sends us a message. Her 22-year-old planned to take her to a concert in Milwaukee in a couple weeks for Mother's Day.
Nice.
That's nice.
I love that.
You have a son in Milwaukee.
I do.
Maybe he could take you
in fact, that's
he
why
could
he,
take you to a concert.
In fact, that's why he called yesterday because he works for the Brewers and he helps with the in-house video system during games. And he's been training on all the different facets of how to do the job. And he called and he goes, I have the opportunity to work on camera one on Sunday. If we're gonna do something, I won't shadow. I was like, dude, I said, nothing would make me happier than you learning how to run camera one so I don't have to continue to pay your rent. So please,
you should have messed with him for a little bit.
So please go learn to run camera one. Plus, I had talked to him for a while. He had no idea that this work trip came up. And so it was what it was. Parker, holding up the 2-minute sign, you are not out of this conversation because.
No. Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's right.
What's your big plan?
We are just doing a big family thing. We usually do our whole family will get together on Sunday. So
okay.
I don't know if there's anything specific for my mom at the moment.
So you don't
Who
have to plan.
my uncle coordinated this.
Ooh.
The host of the event.
Okay.
So, yes.
The host of the event?
Yes.
See?
So to go back to Frank's point, the host of the event. Yes.
No. Not on Mother's Day or Father's Day.
It's a he.
But you said this is an every Sunday thing for your family.
Every Mother's Day Sunday.
Every Mother's Day.
Yes.
Oh, every Mother's Day.
Okay. Sorry. Yes, every Mother's
Day.
So
I'm assuming the aunts, grandmas, all of that, all involved. Okay.
Yeah.
So that becomes a fun
But he planned, but Frank, this goes against your point because he planned it for other people. He didn't plan, it's not Father's Day and the uncle planned it for himself.
Like
the
I said.
The uncle planned it for all the moms in the group.
He's a homeowner. He can do that.
You
can
take
that.
Her somewhere. You have enough room in your house to have your mom over.
I can have her over.
Look at that whole big ballroom you're sitting in.
I know. You know what? It's not her. It's the rest of the family.
It's my siblings.
Then do it by yourself on Saturday. That's the best thing.
Yeah.
And then you're special. Then, oh, look, baby Frank took me out all by himself. He had a paycheck and he did something for me on Saturday.
Real quick, let me pretend to be my mom. I don't know if I want to go all the way out to the city this weekend. There you go.
Oh, now she's complicating things.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Happy Mother's Day. Oh, boy. Madison absentee ballots back in the news. They're being sued. Not the ballots, but Madison. It's Daybreak. This is the City Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, Brian, quickly back to our Mother's Day conversation as we're hearing from some of the ladies chiming in on our text line and over on our social media chats this morning. It seems like they're with me. We just want as moms somebody to take the planning and coordination off our plate, and we are happy campers. We don't even care what it is. So thank you to Alicia. Thank you to Tanya for chiming in this morning. We appreciate the comments.
And thank you for being honest, ladies,
because
that's the truth. I mean, you just, when you're kids are real little, you like some sort of thing, and you just, you know, you go like that. I remember my dad taking us all out to get, find something for my mom as a group and that. But yeah, you just, the older you get and the more, I mean, if it's your first Mother's Day, that's really cool.
Right.
Or if your kid is moved away but then comes back and mm-hmm. it's Mother's Day, oh, that's very special. But most of the time, and I speak only from father's perspective, you just want a day where you don't have to deal with stuff.
Right.
Just give me a day of rest.
Right.
A day to relax, some time for myself.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, so, absolutely, well, 100%.
And I hope if Sunday is complicated for you, you can get through it in your own way and, you know, plan something for yourself to give yourself right. that feeling. So good luck with that. Good luck to Law Forward, to the voting rights focused law firm, because they have filed suit, Jamie, against the Wisconsin Election Commission over the commission's decision to throw out the spring election votes of 23 Madison voters because, oh, we love this, the absentee ballots were properly filled out. They were filled and mailed on time. Yet they were delivered by the city clerk's office minutes after 8 o'clock on election day.
Yeah.
So that's it. The six-member commission voted last week to order the Dane County Board of Canvass not to count the votes in its certification of the election results because the ballots were delivered, as I said, I was not exaggerating, minutes after the polls closed on April 7th. State law allows absentee ballots to be returned until the polls close. Ballots can be returned through the mail to absentee ballot drop boxes located around Madison, to the city clerk's office, or directly to the voter's polling location. These came, as I said, from the city clerk's office, and they were a couple minutes late. So you catch one red light.
Right.
You could screw it all up. And that seemed, I don't know if they caught a red light, but it was only minutes. It wasn't like they showed up the next morning going, can you count these? Nope. Sorry.
Especially
like,
when
hold
it's,
the door, I'm coming. Especially, and somebody pushes the elevator button.
Especially when it's coming from the proper authorities. It's not like just yes. somebody random was bringing these absentee right. ballots into these offices. It was somebody from the proper office who had the authority to do so. And I think this is going to be an interesting case as it moves forward, because there is so much talk about the absentee ballots, about drop boxes, about voting rights. This story to me is insane, though, and it has been since the beginning because we've been following it. And sure. the fact that it was literally just minutes, and you're right, it could have been a red light. It could have been the fact they couldn't find a parking spot. Right?
Yeah,
like, it could have been circling
around
the block, right?
It's also one of those things that you could look at one of two ways. Either, all right, listen, rules are rules,
yeah.
and you have to abide by the rules, or is it to avoid any sort of hassle down the road, where if the word got out, hey, we heard ballots were dropped off at 8:05 and you counted them and now the election is rigged. And just a sidebar, none of the seven would have affected any
right.
results.
Right.
None of those seven votes that they're kicking out would have made a difference. Now, I don't know if you want, I tend to think it's one based on two. It's we're going to be hardliners with the rules because, God forbid, we have to listen to, you know, somebody moan that there was
right.
election irregularities. Then they've got to go back. Now they're going to force us to recount everything where, you know, and are these seven, since they're not going to change anything, they fall outside of the realm of possibility. Yes, it doesn't seem right that we're going to discount these seven votes, but, you know, in the long run, the greater good is just finish the election and move on without anything coming from any backlash. Well, the backlash is coming either way, unfortunately.
What bothers me most about this entire case is the people who voted. They did everything right. Everything was in when it should
yes,
have been.
Yes, the citizens.
Yes, and those votes will now not be counted. And
correct.
And what bothers me most about that is when those things start happening, we already have so much distrust in our elections. And so when we start hearing these types of stories, that trust erodes even more and that public perception changes even more. And then people see it as a system that might not be fair to them. So why should I vote? I don't have time to go in person, but obviously my vote might not count. So why should I show up to do so? And I know not everybody is going to take it to that extreme, but we already, again, have so much distrust that this is why these headlines bother me, because the more we hear these types of things, it just dissuades people from actually participating in a democratic responsibility that we are given. And it's not even an obligation. It's a privilege in this country to be able to do that. And I think that's what bothers me the most about this.
Well, there also has to be a better way to get the votes that were dropped at the city clerk's office.
There's this too.
Obviously, there were not a lot that were dropped at that office. But there has to be a better way than, you know, than saying...
If you're dependent on one blinking red light, I mean, there's
and
a problem.
If you're dropping your vote at the city clerk's office, I think there's a way to say, all right, this office closes at this polling place. If you're dropping your ballots here, closes at 7:30 because we have to, at 7:30, we have to take the ballots over to be counted. If you need to vote between 7:30 and 8, really, you should have made some time.
You're going to have to go to your polling place,
yes,
right?
Go to a polling place because they're open till 8. You can drop it off right at your polling place. But if you're coming to this remote drop-off location, 7:30 or 7 o'clock, give whoever's driving these over the ultimate amount. Plus, doesn't that leave people open to questions too? Oh, Bob had the ballots in his car.
Right.
I saw Bob eating fries. I don't know if I want the bag in Bob's car. All right. Do you believe there should be an age gap on politicians? We will talk about that after this on the Civic Media Network.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. Hopefully you are having a great start to your day. If you're in Madison listening on WMDX or in Eau Claire listening on 93.5 The Tap or even in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR, we are glad that you decided to join us. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. You know, there's mandatory retirement ages in a lot of fields, and yet we do not have them for our politicians. So do you think there should be an age cap, not gap, cap, old folks need not apply for our politicians? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to 100% full-throated say yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. There is no reason that Chuck Grassley, and this has nothing to do with party. I think Joe Biden was too old. I think Donald Trump is too old. I think Chuck Grassley is too old twice. I think, you know, all these guys... And ladies, Diane Feinstein?
She literally died in office.
Yes, they kept her alive just so she could vote. Stop with this. Well, I'm not the only one who thinks that way. An overwhelming majority of Americans, actually 8 in 10, are in favor of setting age caps as well as term limits for members of Congress, according to the latest NPR PBS News Marist poll. Count me as one of those 8.
Yes.
So both ideas are hypothetical because, God forbid, we actually make significant change. Neither is being seriously considered by Congress. One, because they don't want to. And two, because maybe they're too old to read them. Support for each cuts across many backgrounds and party lines. The poll found 78% of Democrats support both age caps and term limits, and 83% of Republicans backed maximum age limits. Nearly 9 in 10 supported term limits. So why? I know it's hypothetical, but why aren't we doing it? We talk about it all the time. There's no... If at 65... And 65 is not old.
No.
65, you can still do a lot of stuff. But in the private sector, 65, people are being put out to pasture who could still do their job very well.
Yeah.
Why are we having 92-year-olds and 84-year-olds? And this is not ageist at all.
No.
Because I'm closer to those ages than I am to Parker's age. But,
I mean, there's
it's time.
There's term limits for the president. So why aren't there term limits for the people?
Well, there used to be.
There should be. There is constitutionally. There is what we know as of right now. But for people in Congress, there should also be term limits, and these people should not be serving for decades. In some cases, a literal lifetime. Chuck Grassley, who you mentioned, is one of those people. Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, you mentioned Chuck Schumer as well. The list actually goes on and on. We have more people right now serving in Congress who have been in their seat for 30 plus years or more than we have for less than a decade.
This is not how the system was set up. And their defense is, well, the first couple years you're in, you're still getting your footing and you can't really get stuff done. Well, how about this? I don't get 2 years at my job to get my footing.
Right.
I get probably, if I'm lucky, 60 days, most likely 30 days. In some cases, you better hit the ground running that first day or you're out. So if you're running, you should have plans in place, mm-hmm. and you should be ready to make a mark. Because how it was set up, this whole system was farmers and everybody came in, they did a little time in Congress, and then they went back to their real jobs.
Right.
Congress was not supposed to be a job where you could make millions and millions of dollars instead of serving the people. This was not the, and I know things change, but the whole system that we operate under was meant as to serve, not to profit. And it has not turned out that way at all.
I mean, I would love to see some sort of change in several rules that apply to members of Congress, not only from the term limits. I also think, and again, this isn't ageist, but as we get older, sometimes our brains just aren't as sharp. We're tired. I think there should also be a cap on when people can actually throw their hat into the ring to actually run.
That gets to the cap. If you decide to run, let's say the cap is 70.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say.
Sure.
Senate, six-year term. You can't run after 64.
Right.
You're going to age out. And unless you want to serve, then on your 70th birthday, we have a sheet cake from Costco as we toss your behind out of the Capitol. That's not going to work. So yes, you have to. You got to have that.
Right.
You got to have the age thing in there. And this is just what was interesting about this, because I know there's some people who are probably listening going, they just don't like old people. Well, in this poll, it didn't matter. Old people were just as likely to support age caps and term limits as younger voters. So everybody outside of Congress who is not bellied up to the trough making their money, looks at this and says, yeah, this makes sense. There's no reason this is happening.
If you want to chime in this morning, we'd love to hear from you. If you think there should be an age cap for politicians, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. Jim chimes in over on our text line this morning. He says a money cap needs to be introduced. I fully agree with that as well. I believe when I say that there should be several reforms put into place for members of Congress, how much they can actually profit, what they're able to invest in, how they're able to make money while they're in office, all of those things need to be top to bottom looked at again. And I know they've tried. It's actually been the Republicans who have chose to not take those bills up. And in fact, Wisconsin's old Ron Johnson had many, many words to say about how Congress people should actually be able to profit while in office. But,
listening to what you just said, and I know Rojo loves to make that bag. Is that going to make it worse or better? If I know I only have 2 to 3 terms in the Senate, I got to make my money fast. So I can't
be able to profit
this
at all.
I understand that.
I would love to see something where they absolutely, not only is there an age cap, but you can't profit at all. You can't make any sort of money.
We already have that for the presidency, and that's, you see how that's working.
Well, it's not working well, obviously.
It's not working well at all.
Remember, we need reforms. I truly believe that there are some places of government that need major reform.
It makes sense to just pull back a little bit. And here's what they say, besides the, oh, it takes us a while to get going. Well, who's going to run? If we have to have Congress people run every couple terms, or their term limits are up and we got to find new candidates, how are we going to find new candidates? There's probably not there's probably not really corrupt old people anymore. So you got to find maybe less corrupt young people, maybe some fresh ideas, maybe start with the top, maybe the president, maybe we need to drop we definitely need to start an age limit on the president.
Sure.
Right now.
There's already an age when where they have to be to run, right? Like
right.
They have
you got
to
be 35 to run. So if you got to be 35 to run, I think you got to retire at. And it's going to see. And I know the other argument. There's going to be some people here who are 75, 80. Maybe they're listening to us and they're. I'm still really sharp. I can make decisions. Yes, you can. But I want you to go and sit with all your friends. Are all your other 80-year-old friends as able to make those decisions? I'm going to guarantee no. So the exception cannot be the rule here.
There's also
the rule has to be the rule.
There's also a physical toll that being president of the United States takes on somebody, right? Like you look,
yes.
You look at how like Barack Obama is a perfect example. Okay,
First one that popped into
right,
my mind.
I hate to always bring him up, but you look at how young and vibrant and jovial he looked in 2008 when he was elected. You know, making that big speech from Chicago. To his very last day in office. And I get it's 8 years, but it is a hard job. It is not easy.
Well, if you're doing it right, it's a hard job.
Well, yes, that's what
so
I was going to say.
It's supposed to be a hard job. And I think two terms for a president, that's fine.
Yes.
I think when you're doing the Senate, two terms is plenty. That gives you over a decade. If you can win
12 years.
It's 12 years. That's enough. Now it's time for somebody else to come in. You don't get to belly up, get in a district, and then just stay there hoping that you never, you know, because you spend all your time campaigning.
Right.
That's what they do.
Or
campaigning
not,
and,
because
and
you just assume
pork.
That you're just going to be in that role because you've been there for so long. And here's the thing.
Could it be because your district's been gerrymandered?
Well, there you
so
go.
That you
and that's exactly what it is.
Right.
And I think what is fascinating about what you just said, Brian, is that this isn't just about their age. It also becomes about perspective. I mean, things change when you've been in office for as long as Chuck Grassley has representing Iowa. Technology, housing, student debt. Workforce changes, all of those things shape how the people you represent live, and people in Washington don't keep up with that, right? They're not keeping
up
with
Chuck
that.
You think Chuck Grassley knows how much a gallon of milk is
no.
or how much gas is? You think Chuck Grassley's ever had to go out and try to, most of them have never had to try to find a real job.
Right.
You ever, oh, well, unemployment's low, it's only 3%. Yeah, Chuck, get out there and try to find a job at 3%, no matter how qualified
right.
you are, whether it's a minimum wage position or something more advanced. Try to find a job after you're 50, Chuck. You're not going to have any luck doing it. So, and the weird part about this, another, I said that older people and young people both support it. Gen X had the highest level of support for both term and age limits. And those are, again, if you're not familiar, late 40s to early 60s.
I'm a
so
Gen X.
People who would be affected by this age cap the most are the ones saying, yes, everybody can see it.
Right.
Everybody knows it. You can make all the arguments you want, but it just comes down. Perspective is a great point. Just physical ability is a great point. Cognitive, I don't care how sharp you are, there is always some level of cognitive decline. Some
mm-hmm.
it's very minor, some it's very major. We've seen it before. We're seeing it, I believe, a little bit now. But it's, come on.
Right.
It's a hard job. You shouldn't be dropping somebody in there who, you know, has to worry if they've had their Metamucil this morning.
We have several people chiming in on social media and on our text line this morning. John from Oshkosh, listening on WISS, says maybe an income limit on who can run. If you're a multimillionaire or billionaire, you should be barred from making policy you profit from. And he also agrees there definitely should be an age cap. Alicia says she agrees with the age cap and the money cap. Thank you for texting in on our YouTube chat this morning. Chad also over on YouTube saying, yes, we should have an age cap. Keith saying reforms formulated by the very people that need to be reformed. Oh, no. Let me be clear. When I say reforms, we're probably going to need some sort of commission that is put in by a different administration and perhaps when there are more adults in the room from both sides of the party where they can actually come to some sort of agreement. I didn't say reforms are going to happen overnight. I believe they should, but it is going to take.
All right, where do you put the age? Where do you put the, what's your cap?
For my cap?
What's your cap for, do we have the same cap for president and Congress, or do we have floating caps?
I would say it would, for me personally, I would probably cap it at somewhere between 65 and 70. Because as you pointed out, if you're 70, you get elected, you're done in 6 years, you're 76, you're almost pushing 80 at that point if you're a right. senator. I would like to see it at around 65 because that still takes you out of office and put somebody with fresh ideas, perhaps younger, in when you're in still in your early 70s. And for a lot of people, you could still go out, you could still do things, you could still work, because I get, you know, some people in their early 70s. So I think about it like that. But 65, man, I don't know.
See, I'll kick it to 70.
Okay.
Where you have to be, where you have to be if you're running for Senate. You know, if you're if you're at that age, you're only going to get to run for one term. So I'll go 70. Is the 70 is the out the door age.
Yep.
So, you know, president, you got to be, if you got to run, it's 62 is the last one. Yes, I know, Parker. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you are having a great start to your Friday. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Are you getting ready to adopt a beagle pup from Ridgeland? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This story now, we've been following it with all the protests at Ridgeland Farms and the agreement that they made last week to sell roughly 1,500 beagles to rescue organizations, shelters, and rescues. Now the news story is all over the country. People are waiting coast to coast to rescue some of these beagles. None of them are available for adoption in Wisconsin yet. Yo, local shelters are saying, just be patient. It's coming. They're coming. These dogs will be out there howling at the moons and making all kinds of noise soon enough. But the Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County, known as HAWS, expects up to 20 dogs to arrive the week of May 11th. So that's Monday. So next week, they're going to get there. The Dane County Humane Society is also preparing. They're going to get 50 of these. They're going to help facilitate the transfer, and they're going to get about 50 of the dogs. The animal shelter Paws in Chicago is also taking 25 of the beagles. So they're going to be out there.
Yeah.
Some or none, as of yesterday, none had been made available for adoption in the Wisconsin area yet because, well, they need
There's going to be some rehab. Right?
Yeah, they got to decompress these dogs.
They have to learn to be dogs. They have to learn to be dogs.
Yes.
I think that's been my favorite part of watching these beagles be rescued and all of the different facilities across the country, because there are some facilities in the South, there's some in Florida, on the East Coast, in California, that have taken some of these dogs. And I think that's my favorite part is watching them when they have these videos of the first time they do hit those play areas. Or they actually get to interact with one another and with humans.
Yeah, they're running around. It is fun to see. It is fun to see them do that.
If you have any sort of heart whatsoever, you have to be touched. I don't care if you love animals, don't love animals. If you have any sort of heart for living things, you have to be excited to see these beagles actually see for the first time what it feels like to be a dog. Right.
Yeah, to walk on grass. They've only been in cages. So they're getting even to walk just on the sidewalk and then to go on the grass and go, wow, what is this? And like you said, to interact with other dogs who they've only seen through cages and then have people to just play with rather than, you know.
So there's from what I've understood and seen from other shelters, you mentioned it, the rehab process for these dogs is probably for some of them going to be a little bit more extensive than others, depending on age and what their circumstances were. But essentially, they're learning how to be with people. They're learning how to sleep in a house. I was watching a video the other day on social media of a foster who got two of these beagles from this facility, and they wouldn't sleep in their cozy little little beds. They'd never had that before. They don't know what the cozy, fluffy right. beds are. So they're still laying on the tile floor and on the hardwood. And they're trying to coax them and teach them that these are your toys. It's okay. You can sleep yeah. in this bed. You eat out of this bowl over here now. There's not just food thrown at you or however, you know, because it's right. all so new to these dogs. Yeah. So it's going to be
cool. It's almost like when you get a brand new puppy, you have yeah. to teach them everything. You
yeah.
have to, sounds around the house, yeah. how to work stairs. I remember getting, you know, a couple of the dogs we got were very, very young when we adopted them. And stairs were like,
yeah.
they just stared at either the top or the, and even if they got to the top, then they couldn't figure out how to get to the bottom. And they just stared at the top of the stairs whining
and
like,
bark.
Hey.
And bark and look down.
I don't know how to do this. So these are older, not yeah. seniors. We don't all different ages, but so they have to learn all that stuff that by now you've probably learned if you have a dog.
If you've listened to this show before, you've maybe heard me mention that at one point I volunteered at an animal shelter and I got to be part of the offboarding process. Offboarding meaning as they come into the facility and we literally take them out of their kennels and you know, start the process of checking them in, getting the vets involved. So I've been involved in those processes and then being in the office as those facilities try to figure out where those animals are going to go, what foster is going to be best for that particular circumstance. Some of them have medical issues, so you need a different foster. Some of them are younger, so you need a different foster. So I've been part of that. And one of the things that I will say is even with dogs coming out of circumstances like this, and I've been part of that offboarding for beagles out of medical facilities and labs, the thing that always struck me is beagles are so loving anyway. And that's part of the reason why beagles get wrapped up into the science of all of it, because they are so trusting. They are so loving. They are very compliant dogs. But I remember there would be times we'd take them out of their kennels and they're scared and they're shaking and we'd have blankets and we'd wrap them up. And as soon as they felt that love, they would just melt into your chest, right? Like they would put
yeah,
their
they
heads.
They finally feel safe.
Yep. They'd put their heads on our shoulders and they would just melt into us to the point where it was hard to give them over because you just wanted to continue to hold them because that's all they've ever wanted. They never felt it. And all of a sudden they had all this love and people were pouring it onto them. And it was always just the most amazing feeling. And so I really have enjoyed the circumstances, I get it. I didn't love the circumstances surrounding it. This watching these dogs, though, now learn how to be dogs yeah. and be part of families is what's really, really awesome because I've got to see the start of that.
Let's just hope they all get adopted. And yeah. I know in the immediate aftermath of the story, there's a lot of excitement. People are, this is how we got to do it. We're gonna adopt all these dogs. There's a lot of dogs out there. I'm a big adopt, don't shop. Mm-hmm. guy when it comes to dogs. So if you're thinking of one of these beagles and you can't get one of these beagles, your shelters are probably full of really cool dogs that
yeah.
would be just as good as a beagle and need to be rescued just as much as these beagles. So that's my little soapbox to say, hey, if you're thinking about a dog, I know there's a nice status when you get this purebred dog. Mutts are really, really cool. All right, when we come back, it's the top of the hour, and that means stuff you need to know, and we will get to it. Big story out of UW-Madison and so much more. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson, 659, and you are listening to the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.